setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined The Ken Coleman Show, a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. The world largely looks at work as a four-letter word. I just have to work. Got to pay those bills. And here on The Ken Coleman Show here at Ramsey Solutions, we believe that work is something that you were created to do. You were created to contribute. You are needed. You must do it. Somebody out there in the world at work needs you to show up and be the best version of you. You can make the income you need and the impact you want. You can. So I want to help you, whether you have no idea what that purposeful work is, or you have an idea but you know how to get there, or you have an idea, you know what it is actually, and you know how to get there, but fear, doubt, finances, or family is holding you back. It doesn't matter where you fall. I want to help you move from paycheck to purpose. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Okay, fun show today. Later in the program, my good friend, Louis Giglio, who is, I just believe he's a national treasure, one of the best communicators on the planet. He happens to be a pastor, the heart and head behind the Passion Movement that'll put 85, 90,000 college kids in an arena in non-COVID years, I must point out, right? He's got a new book out called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And there's a spiritual component to everything I talk about that can't be new to you. But this is an important conversation. It's time to win the battle of your mind. We talk about this a lot. And so he's going to stop by. We only have him for one segment. But this is a can't miss. We're going to dive specifically into some lies, two lies of the five lies that he addresses in the book. Talk about who also should be at your table if the enemy isn't. So that's coming up. That's going to be a lot of fun. You don't want to miss that. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Let's get it started. Sierra Vista, Arizona. That sounds nice. Like maybe I'd like to go there and have some sun tea. I think I might. But Kyle is joining us on the line. Kyle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, man. What's up?
So I have a contentment question for you.
Okay.
So basically, we live in Sierra Vista, small town, southern Arizona. My wife and I, we love it here. We love our community. We love our church. I'm in a job that I like, in a career that I love, for a company that's good. So everything is going well. So,
yeah.
But recently, I've been recruited by a company that I've had my eye on for a long time. And it would be kind of a dream job, dream company type situation. So my question to you is, the professional in me is clawing at these opportunities, and the family man is holding me back. So the question is, at what point is it okay to stop pursuing career advancement and career opportunities and throttle back and just be content with where we are?
Yeah, I love the question and I love your heart, but you've got your narrative all confused.
Okay.
Unless I'm missing something, and just what little bit I hear about you, I don't think I am. But before I explain your narrative problem, let me ask you this. If you take this job, that's dream job, right, dream career, dream company, if you take it, right, how will your family be affected negatively? Because you said it's the professional you is going, ding, 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 ding. I got to jump at this, but the family man is saying, whoa, slow down. I got to call Ken and see if it's okay for me to downshift. What would be the negative impact on your family if you take this job?
So it would be a move. I wouldn't be able to stay where I am. And it would also be the job would require more travel than I'm doing now.
How much?
And so those, it would be up to 25% of my time.
Yeah, that's, I don't like speaking in generalities. Give me specifics.
Okay.
How much more travel, how much more travel would you be doing on a monthly or yearly basis than you are now?
So I usually take about, now I'm taking about 3 to 5 business trips a year, and they're usually about a week long. This one could be 2 to 3 business trips a month, and it could be anywhere from a couple of days up to a week.
Okay. So
it'd be significantly more.
Yeah, but let's play that out now. I get it's more than you're doing, but you're also in your dream job.
Right.
At a dream company. Making how much more money with a ladder to make even more money and more impact? How much?
Right. It would be, I haven't talked to him about the salary, but it would be more than I'm making now.
Okay. Do you have kids?
I do. I have one.
How old?
He's 5.
Okay. He has no concept of time. Let's just say you take this, okay? And let's say that now you're traveling, I think the way you said this, let's say, let's go with the most, 2 to 3 times, so 3 times a month, and let's multiply that out, that's 36 trips a year, and let's say your average time gone is 3 days, I don't even know if that's right, but let's play that out, right? So you're talking about over 90 days that you're gone. Are those on weekends or are those primarily Monday through Friday?
It would be all over the place.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you didn't answer my question, so I'll put it to you again.
Okay.
Well, you did, but you didn't. You did make the effort to answer the question. One, I said, well, how will your family be negatively impacted? You said, well, we'd have to move. Well, to me, is that really a negative impact? Are you going to move to some crappy place where you're living in a cinder block house and there's nothing there? I mean, honestly, I'm asking, are you moving to a really, would you be moving to a really crappy area?
No, it wouldn't be.
No. Okay, then. So I get you're comfortable where you are. Okay, I get it. And I also get that there might be some more travel. But isn't it possible that the dream job, you're not going to stay in that dream job and they may offer you even more advancement down the road? Is that possible?
Right. Yes, it is.
Would it be possible that as you move up, as you expand the dream, that you wouldn't be traveling as much? Is that also possible?
Yes, that's also possible.
I think you have to weigh all this. I'm not going to tell you what to do and when to, but you were, the false narrative that you created is that if I take my dream job with my dream company, I have to travel more. I'm doing that because I'm not content, and you're turning this into a guilt trip, and I think you're making an excuse out of your fear.
Okay.
I think you're making, and again, by the way, it's because you're a good dude. I don't want my heart to hurt because I'm away from my child, and if another one comes in, my heart's going to hurt when I'm with him. I get that. That's a legitimate reason. But don't call it, well, I'm not content. That's not true. You could say no to this and pass. But you'll have to pursue it in another way, or else you're going to get to the end of your road and regret that you never went after the dream. This is another conversation with you and your wife, and then do what you need to do. All right, welcome back, folks. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This is a different kind of talk radio. Thrilled that you're with us. If you've got a question and you're going, man, it's sensitive, Ken. It's a little tough. It's toxic. It's maybe borderline work abuse. It's nuts. And I just don't feel comfortable. Well, what if we told you we could change your name, change your occupation, change your location, whatever, so that we could answer your question? Would you call? I want you to know you've got that opportunity. 844-747-2577. Call the number, tell them the situation, and they'll help you out. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Keith in Buffalo, New York now. Keith, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Hey, well, my issue is that because of the pandemic, I lost my job, a job that I loved and a career that I absolutely loved. So during that time, you know, I've been looking for a job, trying to get back to my field and everything.
Which is what? What's the field and what's the job?
I was a graphic designer.
Okay.
I managed a team. I was like a senior designer.
Okay.
And in like the hospitality gaming industry, and you know, just absolutely loved it. So I took another job through a friend of ours because I just didn't want to be on the collecting unemployment anymore, and I was worried about. I'd never been unemployed in my life before, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was all something new. And so I took something just to get, you know, something to do, earn a few bucks, and still keep applying. My problem is that I'm still, like, I'm miserable. So my wife has finally encouraged me to just, like, hey, let's just, you know, quit this job and focus more of my energy on trying to find the job in my field.
Yeah.
But I'm just having a heck of a time. It's just trying to, you know, land that job. Just I think it's my age holds me back. I'm like 52.
Okay, hold on. So have you been? I know you're in a job that you can't stand right now.
Yeah.
Let me get some quick facts here. First question is, no, that's okay. You're doing great. Can you walk away from the job today financially? Are you able to quit and then just put all your efforts into getting back into graphic design?
Yes.
You are.
I can, yeah.
All right, well, that's huge. How much time do you have? How much time could you go without salary?
About 6 months.
Okay, that's a viable option. We'll come back to that in a second. Second question is, when you say you're having a heck of a time, are you applying for graphic design positions, leadership positions right now while you're at this current thing and you're not getting any bites or you're getting interviews and it's not going anywhere after that? Give me the scenario.
Yeah. So, early on, like say back in September, October, I was like, no, I would apply and not hear anything. Now I'm getting interviews. You know, their interviews are starting to come, so that it's promising, right? But I still haven't been able to land anything.
How many interviews have you gone through and not landed? Give me a number. Not every interview, but how many jobs have you interviewed for that haven't turned out?
About 10.
Really? And you think it's your age? You got any evidence of that?
I don't. I mean, it just, I'm speculation.
How old are
on
you?
On my part. 52.
Oh, geez. Come on, man. I turned 47 today. I mean, please. Please. Please.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Please. Please.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I
if you're old, I'm old. And I got news for you, Keith. I ain't old. You feel me, dog?
Hey. Yeah, I hear
right.
you.
Now
hear
listen.
You.
Now here's the deal. We got how many? Yeah. Have you gotten really close to where you've been like a final candidate or one of the last candidates?
Yes.
Okay, then you win some, you lose some.
Right.
What I'm not concerned about is you as a candidate based on that information. It's not like you're doing one interview and then crickets.
Yeah, right. Right.
So here's the deal. You've been listening to me and my show for how long?
Since this all happened.
Oh,
so
great.
Like over a year.
Okay, you know? Great. So you've heard me talk about my proximity principle, which was a principle that came out of the show. And then I wrote a book on it. And it's all about relationships. What we've got to do, Keith, is double back, double down. I don't care what analogy you want to use. And we've got to make sure that you are leveraging the legitimate relationships you have, close circle, acquaintance circle, social media circle, and you've got to really double down on that because that's where we take you to the next level so that before you even go into the interview and maybe even you get a job that's not even posted yet, we've got to double down our efforts. We cannot get discouraged right now, which, by the way, I know you're discouraged because you're in a job you can't stand. But the good news is, If you walk away today, you've got 6 months to double down, but I'm not sure I want to pull that lever.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's necessary, and I'd rather you not churn through this money you've got. I want you to double down and say, hey, I know plenty of people. I'm 52 and I'm freaking awesome. And I've done graphic design. I've led graphic designers. I'm extremely valuable. And I'm going to double down and I'm going to take a different mindset to this job that I can't stand right now and say, hey, this is providing for me. It's a platform from which I'm going to step from to the future. I think this is a get determined answer. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any problem with being 52, and I know you've got the skill, and I know you've got the experience. Is that true or is that false?
That is true.
All right, then. So let's double down. Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Do you have my book, The Proximity Principle?
No, I do not.
All right. I'm going to give it to you because I'm not even kidding here. Listen, this is all about the people and the places that you are putting yourself in and around. That's where opportunity shows up. And you're in a spot right now where you're discouraged. And the only way to walk out of this is to realize that you know plenty of people. And if you stay with it long enough, an opportunity is going to show up on your doorstep. Do you believe that, Keith?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Then.
I do.
All right. So here's the deal. You're not doing anything wrong. But here's what I want you to do beyond read the book, The Proximity Principle. Amanda, let's make sure that he gets to my website, kencoleman.com. This is free stuff. I want you to get my resume, give him the resume templates. You got to get your resume to where it stands out and you do it the way I teach so that it's all about who you know. The second thing is I want you to get my free resource, How to Win the Interview. Because here's what I know, Keith. Here's what I know. When I have relentless preparation, I have reflexive performance. I've taught about this before, folks. The interview for some people is the most anxiety-ridden performance that you'll ever face. I'm a freak. Dave Ramsey's a freak. All the Ramsey personalities are a freak. We like attention. We like people looking at us. But we know from data that that's not most people. A public speaking opportunity or a public speaking presentation is more feared than death by most people. All right, so now let's put that in context. You got a job interview where you feel like your life depends on it and you're sitting across from somebody and you feel like you're facing a firing squad. Why do Tom Brady and Brett Favre and Dan Marino and John Elway and Aaron Rodgers, I could go on and on and on, Peyton Manning, why do they perform so well in those two-minute drills, which is largely about a minute and a half with no timeouts? Here's why. Relentless preparation. They're watching film. They know what the two-minute defense looks like for the other team. They practice this over and over and over. So they know the plays they're calling. They know the audibles. They know coverages. So here's what happens. In those moments of tremendous pressure, these quarterbacks know what to expect. It is a relentless preparation. If you prepare relentlessly for your job interviews. Let me tell you something. We know from neuroscience that under the most extreme pressure, the brain can still recall about 75% of the content. So if I'm relentlessly preparing, guess what happens? I will reflexively perform. You'll still be nervous. You'll still be sweating. But watch your brain, which is a supercomputer. Watch it perform. But let me tell you something, if you just kind of go in there and I go, well, you know, I think I got a kind of idea where I'm going, and the pressure starts to squeeze you, uh-oh. Preparation is the key to performance. All right, coming up next, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Oh, we're going to talk about the mind game. My good friend Louis Giglio joins us live next. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. We're coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you with us. The phone number to jump in, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. All right, if you've been listening to this show for a week or you've been listening to it for years, you know that I'm constantly talking about the enemies of progress, and it's in the mind, the emotions. Because if you believe like I do that you were created to fill a unique role, that you were needed and that you must do it, I'm telling you that the voices of fear and doubt and pride, and I've said it, come from the pit of hell. So that implies that there's somebody in the pit of hell that is promoting these voices. And I also open up every show by saying, you were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. That also implies that there is a creator, a God. Now, I don't get very spiritual on this show, but I make no bones about those two statements. There is a creator who created you to actually contribute through your work. And there is an enemy, Satan, who's trying to keep you from living on purpose. It's just a fact. You also know that I am a freak consumer of books, of speakers, anything and everything that can pour into me. And I'm thrilled to be sitting next to Louis Giglio, a guy that I've had the privilege to know for over a decade. I've been able to interview him probably 5, 6, 7 times from previous work. And I think he's one of the greatest speakers in America. I think he's the best preacher in America. I've said that before many, many times. And he's got a new book called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And I saw that title. I'm like, this is fan-freaking-tastic. And he's joining me live in studio. Welcome, sir.
On your birthday, no less.
Oh, yeah,
happy
it is.
Happy birthday,
is.
And thanks you, for
sir.
Having me.
Thank you. So the book is out. And obviously, let's just quickly, because I want to dive into, there's 5 lies. That's just one part of this book. We're going to get into 2 that I think you folks are dealing with every day. But before we do it, don't give the enemy a seat at the table. Man, that's so easy to understand, but so hard to do. Why'd you write this?
Well, I wrote the book for myself, and yep. I know that sounds selfish, but I was in I was in a situation where I was having a pity party for about 4 months, coming through a hard season of leadership. Yep. A lot of things been said, a lot of things been done. Got a phone call. You're not going to believe what just happened today. It's that vindication moment that comes down the road, and we all are like, yep, I told you, if you just waited long enough. Texted a friend, you are not going to believe what I just heard. And I just wanted commiseration.
Yeah.
But fortunately, my friend loved me enough to give me what I needed, not what I wanted. And he sent me a 9-word text back. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. In other words, you are acting like an orphan and you are the son of a king.
Yeah.
Wake up and get on with it.
Yeah.
And it changed my situation starting right there. And I'm telling you, Ken, I think about those 9 words every week.
Yeah.
Some moment comes in my life, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's the enemy slipping in again into my thinking with fear, with doubt, with insecurity.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to call it what it is right here and right now.
Yeah, it's such a great book, folks. I'm just going to run you through. I love this, folks. I'm going to run you through the chapters really quick. 9 words that'll change your life. You just heard them. How about a friend who texts you, like who gets in your face and then gives you not just the gift of the words, but a book title.
Yeah.
It's a special friend.
Hello.
I like that. The next is the 23rd Psalm remix. I love that chapter. Mind If I Sit Down is 3. Deadly Lies Exposed. We're about ready to jump into 2 of those. Is chapter 4. Spiral of Sin, chapter 5. Ouch. You better put your steel-toed boots on that one. Freedom Revolution 6. Take Every Thought Captive. Love that. 7. Grace That Silences Shame. 8. That'll just grab your heart and hug it. 9, Staggered by the Mountain. 10, The Garden of Your Mind. So really good stuff. He's a great communicator and writes that way as well. Okay, of the 5 deadly lies exposed, I pulled out a couple that hit this audience who's trying to live and work on purpose. They're going after what the creator of the universe put on their heart, Louis, and the devil's just going, because if you do that, kingdom results happen. The first lie I want to talk about is the lie of worthlessness.
Yeah, well, you know, let's just back up 2 more feet, because I loved your 2 big statements. In the Garden of Eden, which I believe in, God created a perfect world, put 2 people in it. It's perfect. It's called paradise. Mm. In paradise, the enemy came to lie. This guy is bold and brash, and if you're listening today and you think, oh, I'm not going to be susceptible to that, in paradise, he came lying. And his lie in paradise was, you can't trust God. I'm not sure if he's good, and I'm not sure if you can trust him.
Yeah.
And if you can do that in paradise, then you can hit anybody anywhere. And one of the things that I think we are struggling with on a massive level in a comparative culture is, am I enough? And we're seeing a whole generation of people rising up into this one big mantra. I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I'm good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, came from the right family. I don't know if I've got what it takes. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm enough. And what we're saying in this book is Jesus said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means I want a relationship with you. And I not only came down to have that relationship, I'm willing to sit down and have that kind of relationship with you. Think about it. Yeah. The creator of the universe, Ken, he booked a table,
yep,
made the reservation, paid for it himself, and showed up to say, that's how much you are worth to me. And if I start my day at that table, I am moving into my day from acceptance, not for acceptance, and that is a game changer.
He is Louis Giglio, the author of the new book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. He's joining me here on the Ken Coleman Show. Okay, another lie. The lie that there's no way out. We got people going, I can't get qualified to do that, Coleman. There's not enough time or money to do what God created me to do. There's no way out.
Well, there isn't a way out if it's just you.
Yes.
But if there is a not so silent a partner, that's what I've got. Yeah. And that's what you've got. He is not so silent partner. He's an owner.
Yeah.
He's actually the owner of everything. And he's above everything and greater than everything. And so people listening today need to start with something bigger than themselves. Because if you're starting with yourself and all your resources are coming from within yourself, you might not make it.
Yeah.
But if you're starting with, I was created, therefore there is someone bigger than me, there's a power bigger than me, a source bigger than me, and a purpose bigger than me. If I tap into all those, the power, the person, the source, and the purpose that's bigger than me, nothing can stop me from doing what God created me to do, because the one who created me to do it is bigger than everything.
Oh, I love that. Those are just two of the five lies, folks. And I mean, you're talking getting hit right square in the face. And even though I know that's true, I still struggle with those two. Why I picked them out. I mean, you know, this comparison game, especially in this public space that I get to play in. I mean, it can wreck you if you start paying attention to what everybody else is doing as opposed to what God has for me to do. Okay, we've only got about a minute and a half. I want to give you this. You know, we know from research, the most famous relationship study of all time done by Harvard said that 95% of your success in life is completely predicated on the people you hang out with. So if we don't want the enemy at the table, how about the enemy's lynchmen? You know, the henchmen, rather, you know, that come in and they're just like, they're just bad people, Louis. Let's talk about who else should we have at our table beyond the one who created us, who set the table.
Well, I mean, our table is the most important component in our life. You become your companions, ultimately, at the end of the day. And so who do you want? You want somebody who will love you. But love doesn't mean accept everything that you want and say yes to every whim and idea that you have. You need people that love you enough to tell you the truth. That's what I Love My Good Shepherd says, speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
And so you want people that love you, but you also want people that are ahead of you, better than you, some people that are smarter than you,
please,
some people who have succeeded where you have failed, some people who have strengths where you have weaknesses. We are a part of a community. My shepherd calls it a body. Church isn't a building you go to. It's friendships and relationships that make you better and make you like your creator. And so a lot of people want everybody lesser than them at the table, so they get the big dog seat.
That's the truth.
And you're never going to get ahead if you're not hanging around with people that are smarter, faster, stronger, and have more experience than you and are strong in areas where you are weak. And so humble yourself. Get good people at your table. Get people who know how to laugh and have a good time at your table. Yeah. And get people who will tell you the truth.
All right, we got to run. He is Louis Giglio. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Buy it wherever you buy books. Thanks for being with
us. Thanks, Ken.
Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. Let's go to Boone, Iowa, where Devin joins us. Devin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Devin, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I'm calling you.
Yeah.
I say, I took some of your advice and I made a quick phone call yesterday. I went through some of your worksheets and I've been listening for quite a while, so I think I knew what I was doing. But I say, I ended up making that phone call and I'm wondering if it was the right decision. I'd be taking a pay cut on this. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. This doesn't really make sense, but I'm going to try to collect my thoughts here.
Okay.
The job that I made the phone call for would be working in a coffee shop and a vinyl store. It's like a 2-in-1 type deal.
Okay.
Because I figured out my passions were like selling music, customer service, stuff like that. I like doing that kind of stuff.
Okay.
My job now is nothing like that. It's like paperwork, 9-to-5 type stuff.
Okay.
It's a good job, but it's not a fit for me. This phone call I made, the guy that runs this vinyl coffee shop, it's a one guy type deal. He wasn't hiring, but I know who he is. I've got some connections with him. So I made the phone call and I asked him if he needed some help. And he basically said, yeah, I'm looking to expand and give me a call in a month and we can set something up. So I would definitely be taking a pay cut because I'm making some decent money right now. And I mean, I don't know what the cut would be, but
well, let's start there. So part of what's going on is you're trying to make a decision with incomplete information.
Right.
I'm not saying that you're wrong, that you're not going to take a cut, but you actually don't know how much, because that has to come into this. Are you single?
No, I'm married and I'm, paying off a house.
Okay, so yeah, that's a legit thing. So you thank him that he offered it, but he hasn't actually offered you an official job yet, or else if he had, there'd be a number attached. So I'd sit tight and say, you know, all right, let's deal with this when it comes. Okay, so when it comes, let's play this out. So let's say I'm assuming he's going to make an official offer. Yes?
Yes.
All right, and so we find out what the money is and we go, okay, here's my reality. And we walk through this. We go, okay, if I said yes to this job at this salary or hourly pay, whatever it is, what would have to be true for us not to put ourselves in a really tight financial situation? So what we're talking about there is what budget changes should we make, could we make? Okay. Like, what could we actually do? How would that affect us in order to take this opportunity? And so we look at that first. Then we say, okay, if I even can do it, which we're not sure yet, Devin, so I think you've got the right concerns. But let's say that we can do it. We can absorb the pay cut. The only reason we absorb the pay cut is if this is a short-term pay cut, and it's going to get you on the ladder you want to be on, which we've determined it's the place you want to be in or the type of work, but does it have a ladder where you can eventually grow? And short-term, I'm talking about a year at the most before you would be able to make more money and then get that money back and then move on. That's the criteria that you called me for.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. While it is in the right space, doing the right kind of work. So we've got the passion and the mission figured out. You've done a great job identifying that. But it may not be the right place. It's the right work, but it may not be the right place. And there are other opportunities. So I'd be okay with you going, you know what, financially, if it doesn't make sense, we've got to have the maturity to say, all right, this kind of fired my soul up. Because now I saw something that's absolutely in my sweet spot. It just wasn't the right place to step into the sweet spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And be patient, but be persistent. There's a lot of tension between that. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But here's the deal. If you in fact can absorb the pay cut and it's only a short amount of time before you would make back the money you're making now or make more, then yeah, I would do it if you can do it. But if not, I'd go, nope, I'm not going to make a bad financial decision because this isn't the only opportunity in the world to do what it is I want to do. So I'm not going to blow it. So that's the criteria. This is easy to understand. Wait and see what the financial offer is, then do your math. This is the Ken Coleman Show. They are calling it the Great Migration in certain journals and papers. What am I talking about? Nearly 40% of Americans are going to change jobs this year. The pandemic kind of woke them up out of the slumber of just going to work for a paycheck. And so I'm really excited that we're working with ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let me give you two reasons why you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. They are the leading job site in the world. Their candidates are three times more likely to get hired because of their unbelievable technology, where you go online in minutes, you fill out a profile, like I told you to, at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Minutes. We fill out the profile, we submit it, and then their technology recruiting process starts to work for you. They start matching up your profile with jobs that are listed by companies that are paying them for you, the talent. When a company sees your profile and go, hey, I want to interview you, they contact you directly. What? This takes the suck and the yuck out of the job search. That's the first reason. The second reason is my favorite reason. It's free. I'm not pitching you something that you have to buy. It's free. What are you waiting on? It's another arrow in your quiver. It is another opportunity to get hired. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go. Why wouldn't you? It's free. All right, let's go now back to the phones. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Atlanta, Georgia, my old stomping grounds, where Nick joins us. Nick, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Nick, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just kind of torn on a decision.
Oh, I like this. Talk to me. What are we working through?
All right, well, as it stands, I'm a law enforcement officer.
Thank you, by the way, for your service and for putting yourself in harm's way and at the behest of unwielding criticism just because you're out there protecting and serving. Thank you.
I appreciate that, and that's kind of where we're going with this.
I knew it.
So, basically, I'm just debating on essentially getting out of law enforcement. I love my job on a day-to-day basis. You know, I love helping people. I've saved lives, all kind of stuff like that. You know, I love my job, but with everything that's gone on, especially in the past year and a half, 2 years, it's just getting to the point where it's not the day to day that stresses me out. It's the big picture that is just weighing very heavily on me, and I just don't know that it's worth it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I can't answer that for you, but if you called to say, hey, I mean, I guess you're calling, I think you're calling me for permission and perspective. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and I, you know, there's another opportunity that has presented itself in a completely unrelated field.
Interesting. Tell me about it.
Well, it's a federal government contract job. It's just mundane. 9-to-5 type deal.
All right, I'm going to tell you no already. So here, let me just boil this down and then allow you to ask any questions based on what I'm about to tell you. I'm totally fine and in agreement with you leaving the police force or sheriffs or whatever you're doing, whatever law enforcement position you have. I'm fine with it as long as you are doing something that is similar. And what I mean by similar is the work you love. It's got to be work that you're passionate about. So if you were to write down on a piece of paper the parts of your job as a law enforcement officer that you love the most, and you write those out and you look at that and you go, now look, as long as I'm doing that kind of work, it doesn't matter what industry that I'm in. And so you got to move from this because you love the job. But yes, you are in a negative environment right now. There are a lot of things floating around. But while all those things are true and you're not being oversensitive, you're not being silly, while those external environmental factors do make your job a negative, it doesn't remove the fact that you're passionate about that work. True or false?
I'd say true for the most part. I think that a lot of the external negative is definitely put a little bit of water on the
No. I know that. We're saying the same thing. What I'm saying is that is true. But it's like the teacher who calls me up and says they're burned out. The teachers are burned out. But if I remove all of the crap that's burning them out, they still love teaching. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
So if I remove all that external crap, which we can't, but if I do for a moment of perspective, there's certain types of work that you love. So what you've got to do is get really clear and write that out. And it might be five things, it might be seven things, it might be three things. But where can you do that type of work that is not in the traditional police law enforcement type thing? That's what you're looking to do. And then it's a pivot. And that's what you have to figure out. Because the reality is, if I remove all that crap, let's say that everybody loves police officers and is not everybody looking at you sideways to whether or not you're a racist jerk, you'd still be doing it. You wouldn't even be thinking about this phone call, true or false?
Correct.
Okay, then. So we go, what do you love most? In fact, you know what? I'm not going to put this. I was going to give you homework. Let's just do it. We got a couple minutes. I'm going to do it right here, right now. Give me three things, two things, five things. What do you love most about being a law enforcement officer? What's the work itself? Describe the work. What are you doing that you love?
The unpredictability of it. You know, I never know what I'm going to be doing when I go to work, you know.
Okay, great. So we'll call it variety. What else?
Yeah, it's corny in the canned response, but, you know, I do enjoy helping people. You know, we're coming in on the worst day of someone's life and, you know, clearing the situation up for them.
All right, so let me ask you this. What's your favorite kind of helping work? I want you to be specific. Is it arresting the bad guy and thus protecting the woman who's been domestically abused? I mean, be specific. When you say, I love helping people, give me an example where a police officer, you specifically, help somebody and you go, that felt good.
It's hard to narrow down and put a tackle on that. You know what I mean?
I don't think it is. Either you're protecting or you're serving. It's in the job description. So maybe you're helping a motorist on the side of the road and they're scared. You know, maybe.
I mean,
come on, man. It's really not that hard. And you have to get this so that you can see the transformation in other types of work. Excuse me, in other career fields that are the same as serving people here. So the variety thing that you listed, that's an environment thing.
Right.
That's not a type of work. All right. So the type of work you love serving, protecting, true or false?
I guess the biggest thing is the kind of stuff when we like go on a call with the ambulance or, you know, to a house fire or something like that and helping them do their jobs, you know. Helping them do CPR or something like that, when you're actually saving a life.
There you go. All right, so let's bottle that right there, where you're actually saving a life. There is a form of protection there, and there is service. Let's get right back to it. Protect and serve. So what are some careers that may not be directly law enforcement, may not be FBI on the federal level, whatever, but you are in a role where you are, the word is not collaborating, but you are in a supportive role in helping others, you know, specifically being protected or whatever. So it could be, I don't know if it's firefighting for you. I don't know if it's becoming an EMT. I don't know if it's private security where you're protecting school kids. I don't know. That's for you to research, but you've got to really figure out, and you started to nail it. Wait a second. I know the kind of work I want to do and the result I want to create. That's passion and mission. I think your driving missional result that you want in your work is serving. I don't think there's any question. Mm-hmm. It's service. So now we back up and go, what are the types of work I love to do? It might be caregiving, might be protecting, whatever. And I think you got to start looking that direction. And so it's really more of look private sector first. Doesn't have to be security. Could be a lot of different things. But you got to allow your mind and heart to search together, and the opportunities will present themselves. All right, folks, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.